are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
When you're reading the book of Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 to 18, it says, "He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name." This calls for wisdom. "If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for its man's number, his number is 666666. It's going to be a very interesting week as we speak about all things the mark of the beast. We are joined on the line because I ran away from this topic, but I'm happy my elder was able to say, "Here I am, I will go," right? We are joined on the line by my elder, Elder Obedingandu, who is going to be helping us with this particular topic. My elder, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Zandile. How are you doing?
I am good. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Indeed. Before we start, my elder, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us so that the Holy Spirit may guide us in this conversation?
Shall we pray? Our Father who is in heaven, we know that it's your desire that all should be saved and none should be lost. And some of these topics are very hard to understand. They may even cause anxiety to some people, but aren't we grateful because you promised that you will send us the Holy Spirit who is able to do for us beyond our greatest stretch of imagination. So we invite him right now to convict us of sin and of righteousness, even as he leads us in the path of righteousness. This we ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. Yeah, so this book, in Revelation, in fact, let me just say the whole book of Revelation, it's quite interesting. I remember my 12-year-old saying, "Mommy, I ran away from that book because it's so scary." And then after some time, he came back. He's like, "No, that book is actually very good." I'm like, "Okay, I'm not sure where you stand." And then we come here, my elder, where we're finding the mark of the beast. So what does the Bible say about the mark of the beast? And where do we find it in Scripture? Do we only find it in the book of Revelation, or do we find it anywhere else, or it's only there? But what does the Bible say about the mark of the beast?
Okay, maybe to start with, Zandile, I would like to let the viewers know that Christianity is a thinking man religion.
Okay.
And so it doesn't appeal to sensationalism or to fear, but it calls us to understand and appreciate the person of Christ Jesus. So when you look at the book of, when you look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the key figure is Jesus and his love towards man and how much he would want man to be saved. Now, when you look specifically in the Bible and look directly at the reference of the mark of the beast, you only find it in six passages that refer to it directly. And all those six passages are coming from the book of Revelation. If you would allow me, I can pick the references. The first one is the one that you just read, which is Revelation 13, verse 16 to 18. And probably this is the crux of the mark of the beast. This most presentations that you hear on the mark of the beast come from this passage. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his hand, on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark. All right, the other portions, we may not go through them. The next one is Revelation 14, verse 9 to 11. "A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on their hand, they too will drink of the wine of God's wrath, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment will arise forever and ever. Therefore, there will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image, mm-hmm. or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. The other is Revelation 15, verse 2. I'm not going to read that one, mm-hmm. but people can refer to it. It just talks about, it refers to the mark of the beast and the beast. And Revelation 16, verse 2, I'm also not going to read that one for the sake of time. People can refer to it, and again, it refers to the beast and the mark.
Mm.
Then the other one is Revelation 19, verse 20. I'm not going to read that. I'm also going not to read Revelation 20, verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are the passages that directly infer to the mark of the beast.
Mm.
Yes.
Hmm. So, we are seeing that, you know, in Revelation, we do find the mark of the beast, as you have given us those references, right? But what is it? You know, what is the mark of the beast? You know, is it a tattoo? Is it what is it? Because for example, when I'm reading and then it says that it would be the numbers 666, right? I'm thinking maybe it's a tattoo. We're gonna have a writing, you know, on our spongos, your forehead, and the right arm. Maybe it's something else, my elder. But before we go on, maybe you can just enlighten us. What exactly is the mark of the beast?
Okay, growing up, I think in the 70s into the 80s, the interpretation in the Seventh-day Adventists was that it's going to be some sort of a writing.
Okay.
And eventually some people were thinking, no, it's going to be a chip. You see that will enable you to buy and sell, that will enable you to transact. But over time, we've got to understand that it's actually not literal.
Okay.
It is a symbol.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
It is a symbol, and people should not be worried when they hear of what Elon Musk is doing, wanting to put a chip in the brain. That's not. It's far from the mark of a beast. The mark of a beast is a mark, And of course, it's qualified a mark of the beast.
Mm.
And probably to understand it, we may want to realize perhaps the understanding of it is that, you see, the devil has always coveted worship.
Mm.
And he got kicked out of heaven because of that devilish ambition that got out of control.
Okay.
Because he wanted worship.
Mm.
So in the scenarios that we have read, the verses that refer to the mark of the beast, if you look at it, the key issue is worship.
Okay.
Yes. So at the core of the mark of the beast, the issue is worship.
Mm.
You see, worship is cardinal for all of us to understand. If you don't understand why you worship, then you are wasting your time.
Mm.
It's not politics. Worship is a serious business. It's a relationship with God.
Mm.
And why do we have this relationship? Because God created.
Mm.
Now, the pointer to God being the creator, the aspect of him deserving to be worshipped are two elements: he created and he redeemed.
Mm.
Now, in the Ten Commandments, there's one commandment that stands out as a symbol,
mm.
or is it a mark, or a sign, or a seal of his authority, and that is the fourth commandment, which
mm.
refers to God as the one who created. If you read Exodus 20, in Exodus 20, and if you read Deuteronomy chapter 5, you notice that there he is referred as a redeemer.
Mm.
Now, when the devil got down here, he's always wanted to have that kind of worship.
Mm.
And so he needed to have something that gives him the premise, that gives him the same level as God.
Mm.
But you see, he can't come to us and tell us that, you see, I'm the devil and I want you to worship me. No
mm.
one will worship him,
mm.
because we all know that he is full of machinations and many other things. So he comes down and adopt a medium through which people can worship him. And so he comes with similar aspects to Sabbath or to Saturday, and that is Sunday.
Okay.
So when you actually look at it, the introduction of worshiping God on Sunday is the devil's machination.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And he brings it to us in such a way, in a clever way. He'll come in other places, he'll tell you that because this is the day when Christ was resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
In another form, he'll tell you that, well, I have appointed these individuals and they have authority to change the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. And when you understand that, the key at the end of the day is worship.
Mm.
But I want to quickly state this, Zanile. If you go to Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 to 8, all right?
Mm.
Now, Deuteronomy 6 is a chapter after Deuteronomy chapter 5.
Mm.
In Deuteronomy chapter 5, that's where you find God giving the, that's where you find Moses reciting the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel.
Okay.
Now, in chapter 6, verse 6, Moses continues to say that, you see, these are the words which I commanded thee this day. They shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou and when thou risest up.
Mm-hmm.
And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and shalt be as frontless between thine eyes. Now, look, do you see the similarities?
Yeah.
You see the similarities in Deuteronomy 6, 6 to 8, and Revelation 13, the verses we just read. Now, when you look at what the mark of the beast is going to be, it's going to be on the arm, okay, on the right hand,
yes,
and it's going to be on the forehead, the frontal cortex, which is the thinking part of the brain.
Ah.
And this is exactly what Moses is telling the children of Israel. You see, look, this is what you're going to do with your children. You should teach them the commandments of God. And you're going to make sure that they have them on their right hand. Okay, they put a band on their right hand. When they go for work, as they are laboring, they appreciate that, you see, there is a God who gives me strength. And he is the one who goes beyond what I'm capable of doing. When they talk to God, they actually understand that, you see, God ask them, he calls them to reason with them. He says, like in Isaiah 1 verse 18, which says, come, let us what? Reason together. And so God appeals to the conscience. God appeals to the thinking man.
Okay.
And this is exactly that the devil would want us to engage in when he brings us this issue of the mark. It is not the actual mark. It is a symbol, and we should be careful with it, even as we deal with the issues of worship.
Mm-hmm. So my elder, you know, earlier on you mentioned the issue of Elon Musk and stuff. And I know, for example, even the COVID vaccinations, you know, people were scared of it and had the way a lot of things that were said. But do we have, you know, historical figures or events, you know, that have been suggested as representing the beast or influencing the interpretation of the mark of the beast?
Okay, so when we talk about the COVID vaccine and the COVID, that was a very successful experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you something, okay? Because during that period, it was demonstrated that the church can be closed.
Mm.
Okay, before that, who would accept the church would be closed in an environment like the United States of America, where they say that they actually believe in the separation of state and church? Okay, but even there, you see, the state could pronounce and say that churches could be closed.
Mm.
You see, but that wasn't the mark of the beast. Again, you see, we shouldn't be fanatical about these things.
Mm.
Neither should we be waylaid and think that, well, okay, we get excited.
Mm.
But I want to probably just to share a few things about the historical background.
Mm-hmm.
Where is this coming from?
Yes.
Where do we drive our conviction as Seventh-day Adventists when we say the enforcement? Now, I'm using the right word. The enforcement, the legislation, and the enforcement of Sunday as a day of worship.
Mm-hmm.
That is the mark of the beast.
Okay.
Okay. Going to church on Sunday is not a mark of the beast.
Mm.
Okay. But the very day when I accept the enforcement, legislation, and enforcement of Sunday as a day of worship.
Mm.
That's the day I receive the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, historically, where does this come from? When you go through history, you understand that after Christ left, the Roman Empire was ruling.
Mm.
Okay, at a certain point, a ruler came up, Constantine came
okay.
up and says,
mm-hmm.
"Look, we need to change. We need to understand how do we compromise with the Christians
mm-hmm.
by simply accepting them, but also bring into the worship mm-hmm. our practices." So he is known to have said, he is the first one to have said, we need to observe Sunday, okay,
mm-hmm.
as a day of worship.
Yes.
He is the first one,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so historically, we trace the issue of Sunday worship to pagan Rome.
Okay.
Okay? And as believers, as Adventists, we attribute the mark or the beast to pagan Rome, okay? And in our time, we don't have pagan Rome.
Mm-hmm.
We have a power that has taken up pagan Rome.
Mm.
And that is the power right now that we are going to classify as the beast. And this is the only power, Zandile, that is capable of enforcing Sunday
okay.
as a day of worship,
yeah.
all right?
Mm.
And there's no other power. So it requires someone to think through. There are so many theories around. Some people will tell you that this whole thing about the mark of the beast is just going to affect those that are not going to be raptured for 7 years.
Mm.
Those theories are not valid. They're not biblical. They're not that. They don't even make sense. But our best is that it has happened in the past.
Mm.
We refer it to the past. We refer it as a dark ages. And we know it's going to happen in the future. And how is it going to happen in the future? It's a simple thing. Right now, if you look at what's happening, is that globally, we all accept that we need to make changes
mm.
when it comes to climate change. All right?
Yes.
Okay? Uh-huh. Now, politically speaking, it makes a lot of sense. Even everyone who is not a farmer will agree that, okay, let's have a particular day when there's no carbon monoxide. But you see, the church, on the other hand, are pushing that day where we should not do any activities, where there's rest,
mm.
the creation takes a rest, is Sunday, all right? And that, again, points to where we are going.
Mm.
Now, let me quote a few things. I'm going to quote some quick quotations here. They're not long, but it's something that people should appreciate and they can read on their own
mm-hmm.
and verify these quotes. I'm going to read from Catholic Record, September 1, 1923.
Mm.
The church is above the Bible. This transparency of Sabbath observance is the proof of that fact.
Mm.
Okay? There's a gentleman called C.F. Thomas, later October 20, 1895. This is what he says. Of course, the church claims that the change was her act.
Mm-hmm.
And the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical power and authority in religious matters.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Then another quote from St. Catherine Catholic Church, Sentinel, May 21, 1995. Perhaps the boldest thing, the most revolutionary change the church ever did happened in the first century. Mm-hmm. The holy day Sabbath was changed from Saturday to Sunday, not from any directions noted in Scripture, but from the church's sense of its own power.
Mm-hmm.
People who think that the Scripture should be the sole authority should logically become Seventh-day Adventist and keep Saturday holy.
Mm-hmm.
Another quote, the Catholic Mirror, December 23, 1893. Reason and sense demand the acceptance of one or the other of these alternatives, either Protestantism and keeping of Sunday, or Catholicity and the keeping of holy of Sunday. Compromise is impossible. So basically, maybe that's where I can end. You can ask your next question, Zadil.
Uh-huh. Okay. So seeing that you know, we have this example, yeah, the mark of the beast is quite interesting. So does it represent future things that are coming, ne? And the end of the times, or is it something that's happening now, you know, my elder? Because sometimes people ask, good, wait, can't this mark of the beast, is it now? Like Zanada would have the mark of the beast now, or would it be after the, I'm confused myself. Before Jesus returns, or as he is returning, I don't know. There, is it a future thing or is it a now thing?
Okay, I would say, like I said, the mark of a beast,
mm-hmm,
is the legislation and enforcement of Sunday as a day, mm-hmm, of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
We haven't gotten to that yet. Okay, but if you look around, what is happening, we're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know that someone out there will be saying, he's so much focused on Sunday. He is a player hater. Yeah, probably you can refer to me as a player hater. But I just want you to understand something. The issue of worship is very critical. Mm. All right.
Mm.
This is not about a day. It's not just because I go to Saturday. I keep Saturday as a Sabbath. No. Look, let me refer you to the case of Abel and Cain.
Okay.
Okay. God gave a specific instruction.
Mm.
This is how you will offer sacrifices to me. Mm. You will have to kill a lamb and bring it before me. Now, however expensive the cabbage is, that Cain brought, it was a wrong way of worshiping God, and God rejected it. Okay? So when we talk about Sabbath and Sunday, we are not talking about days. We are talking about how God should be worshipped.
Mm.
We shouldn't trivialize this. God has a way he should be worshipped, and we should respect that element and do as he's required to do, as he's required us to do. Otherwise, we may end up like Cain, and our sacrifice or our worship will not be accepted.
Uh-huh. All right. So there have been quite enough. We are wrapping up, my elder. Don't worry. So there have been quite a number of issues that we've discussed, which are things that, you know, Christians are concerned about and concerns them, right? And I would ask, I'm like, is it salvific? Because I got introduced to that word. So don't worry. I tend to abuse it a bit, you know? So the issue of the mark of the beast in Pundiswam, is it salvific, you know? And should it cause me, as Uzanele now, to start introspecting on my work with God? Should it start making me want, you know, a closer relationship with God and make sure everything is right? So at the end of it, or, you know, I don't find myself having a 666 on my head or anything like that. Should we really be concerned about this? Or we'll see when it happens.
Okay. It is salvific, and look at this. Let me put it this way: when the three young Hebrew men were taught to worship the statue, by Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, they could have said, we are not kneeling before the statue. In our hearts, we are kneeling before God. Okay, but they said, we are not going to bow before the statue because God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You see, anything to do with the character of God, anything to do with the Ten Commandments is salvific. Okay, we don't keep the commandment to be saved. We keep the commandments because we are saved. Okay, we are not a mango tree because we have produced mangoes. We are a mango tree even before we produce the mango tree, the mango fruits. The mango fruits are produced from a mango tree, not from an orange tree. Why? Because we are God's children. As God's children, we should understand. When you read Revelation 14, verse 7, you know, there's a direct quote there of the fourth commandment, which says we should worship God who did what? Who created. So why do you worship God, Zandile? Why do you hold God supreme in your life? Because he owns your breath. Okay? Yep. He speaks. He is God, and he deserves to be worshipped. I can't go to a car and start bowing before a car, no matter how beautiful the car is, and start saying, give me life, because the car doesn't give life. I can't go to the Victoria Falls, no matter how beautiful the Victoria Falls, and think that I can worship it, because it can't give me life. It can't protect me. It can't do anything. I can't worship Saturn, because I know Saturn, just like me, is a creature. So what I'm trying to say is that there's only one God that deserves to be worshipped. So when we talk about the mark of the beast, we are not talking about the number. We're not talking about a day. We are talking about the author and the finisher of our faith, who is God.
Border. You know, as the young ones, you know, earlier when you started speaking, you said, you know, in the olden, in the, when you were growing up in the 70s and 80s, I was like, ish, you know, I was about to say, you know, as the young ones, you're going to say drops mic to what you just said. So since you're a bit older, I don't I'm going to behave. But I love how you ended it today, how you ended it, Bunde. So I mean, that is how we just drop this mic. We close the show. Me and you, we are done, my elder. So thank you so much for coming through with this beautiful, beautiful foundation here. I'm sure our listeners, they're going to start itching on Wednesday, you know, and then come through with the questions. But I'm going to ask that before you go, please do pray so that we may understand fully the issue of the mark of the beast. Let us not be scared. Let us not run away from it, but actually understand, read, you know, and make sure that even when we discuss it, you know, we don't scare people, but we lead people to salvation.
Thank you, Zandile. Shall we pray? Our Father who is in heaven, we are grateful for Jesus Christ who died on the cross so that we can have salvation. Even as you grant us the grace of salvation, grant us the intellectual power to actualize and acknowledge that when we accept you wholly as your personal Savior, we may be tested here and there, but you have promised us the Holy Spirit to keep us faithful. Help us to understand and realize that these things are going to happen. But haven't you promised, even in the passages we have quoted, that those who stand and are faithful in not receiving or accepting the mark of the beast will not be cast into hellfire, but will be saved into the kingdom to live with you for eternity? This, Lord, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. My elder, thank you so much. To reach out again tomorrow.
Thank you. Tomorrow then.
Indeed.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.